You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim, Jamal, and Zaylor, we are back on the line again. And as always, thank you so much for taking your time on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, whatever the case may be. We always appreciate you listening to us and that dribble and drabble that we throw out there. Hey, say hello, everybody.
Hey, hello, everybody.
We want to send a shout out to Hollywood Z. he's not in Minnesota. He's traveling again, and he's out in Palm Springs. So he's got that Palm Springs look today, everybody. But we didn't see that. He wanted to be just by voice. But Jamal, I don't know. We thought he was looking pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I said, man. Got to change the scenery. Not a green screen behind them.
Yeah, we're not in studio. We're all in our different places, only because of the fact that the in terms of the studio, with the COVID and everything, people are being more cautious. So it ended up being, we'll be working from our individual places again, which is fine. Saves us a drive. Saves all of us a drive from that perspective. Okay, hey, today we're going to be talking, picking back up on the police chases from last week and the issues with that. We didn't get a chance to fully explore that, but we want to talk about that. And then we're also going to be talking about how white America is actually turning, I should say woke America, all right? So how white woke America is turning minorities into Republicans. So this is going to be a very interesting discussion about that. So we're going to be talking about those two main things. And of course, we'll be talking about these different emails and things of that nature. But before we get into that, what would a show be without Jamal and his blast? Oh, I got to say, Jamal, did the Giants end up winning?
Yeah, we won.
Yeah. The Giants won today. So I gotta send it out to them. So congratulations, Jamal.
Never a doubt.
I don't know about that. I watched it. It went down to the final seconds and the guys recovering a fumble, which saved the day, basically. So that was good.
It's part of the game, right?
It's part of the game. I'm the one congratulating you. I got no issue. You're still on the bottom along with us.
I really want to put the Minnesota Vikings on blast for losing to Dallas last week, man. They fumbled that bag, that's for sure, man.
Mm-hmm. They got blown up today.
They lit the whole NFL down.
Did you hear what I said, Jamal?
What, you guys lost?
No, Dallas. Dallas got blown up today, 30-3 or 30-6, something like that. 30-6.
I saw that.
Yeah, by the Broncos. But anyway, so Jamal, that's the best you could do for a blast this week? I think we're almost disappointed.
No, you didn't even ask me. But no, who else was going to put on blast?
I did. I said the show wouldn't be the same without a blast from Jamal. Who are you going to blast?
I'm getting there, Mr. Potts.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
It's not a funny one this week, man, but I want to put the Raiders wide receiver, man, on blast this week, man, who tragically was driving drunk at 150 miles an hour and ran into a woman and killed her. Wow. And, rest in peace to the young lady that lost her life tragically. I think it was like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And he was driving his car at 150 miles an hour.
What car is going 150? I mean, that's pretty fast.
Yeah. What do you have, like Corvette? Yeah, some type of Corvette or something like that.
Wow. Well,
but, you know, here's the thing, man. I don't ever want to kick somebody while they're down. I don't think he's a – I wouldn't condemn him as a bad person. He made a very terrible mistake that cost somebody their life, and he's going to have to pay the consequences for that. You know what I mean? So, you know, rest in peace to the young lady who lost her life.
Yeah. Well, I know that they also threw him off the team behind that kind of behavior.
Well, that don't matter. He's going to jail for a while. He got bigger issues right now.
Right. Well, the thing about drunk drivers, we always send a message out there about, you know, please try to control your liquor out there, people, when you're driving. Get somebody to drive you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. You know, because you do put other lives at risk. Okay, let's finish talking about this police chases. We kind of started with that last week, and we never really kind of finished up on that. So just to refresh for anybody that wasn't here last week, we had expressed a concern collectively about the police chases. And there was one in particular that took place in Minnesota about a year ago, I think it was, right? So about a year ago. Mm-hmm. and the police officer was chasing a guy that's been deemed to be, the chase was based on what they call nonviolent felonies. One, he had stolen a car, but it wasn't a strong arm situation with that. And then he had done two robberies and he was getting away about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then the police officer was chasing him and the suspect jumped the red light basically and made it safely through. But the police officer in chasing the person jumped the same red light, but hit a civilian, you know, somebody not a party to the what was going on, and killed the individual. Now it's a year later, and he's being prosecuted for criminal homicide, I believe it is, a criminal negligence, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Yes. Does that kind of recap, Zeller?
The Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's what kind of prompted some of this discussion and for us to talk about police chases, because police chases, well, they are problematic. You know, as I have expressed, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, we don't do those kind of police chases. Our philosophy is we can always catch them on another day. We talked about LAPD at one point. I know they were doing a lot of these types of chases and having these crashes, et cetera. So we kind of got into it. So what they have to look at sometimes is, what is it all about and who's liable? Because there's a liability issue that's associated with this also. Is the police officer liable? Is the city liable? Or, you know, who's liable for these kind of things? So it was surprising to hear about the fact that this police officer was being charged, but this is what it is. Okay. So the times are changing somewhat and, you know, they have to look at department policy to see what the policy says. Now, some of these jurisdictions have policies where you don't do the chase for nonviolent felonies, and that's why they're actually doing what they're doing. Now, in research, I have found out that, believe it or not, in the last 10 years, how many people do you think have died as a result of police chases? Just take a guess.
20.
Taylor?
15.
7,500.
Wow,
7,500 deaths from police officers, you guys, in the last 10 years. Of course, this is national. We're talking nationally, all right? And believe it or not, the large percentage of the chases, what do you think it was for?
Traffic
violations.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is poor judgment, in my opinion. How in the world are you worrying about chasing somebody because they ran a red light, as an example, which is a violation?
Well, they're not chasing them because they ran a red light. They're chasing them because they think that there's something bigger going on and why they're trying to flee the police.
Right. They are.
That's probably very true. Well, I think that's a very good point. That's true.
Right.
But it goes down ultimately as a police chase for a traffic violation if that's all that it was.
Right.
There's some people have run because they just don't want a ticket. You know, I mean, that's all, that's what it's about. Now, some of them, yeah, you know, some of them are trying to get away, but that's not the major percentage, because the major percentage was second, was that crimes, that the person committed a crime, and that was the purpose of the police chase. Now, they, hold on a second, because I got some other things here. Now, this is what they call a consent decree, and that's pursuits for property offenses, misdemeanor offenses, or traffic or civil, you know, infractions are prohibited for the police department. So some of them actually have agreed that they're not going to chase people under those circumstances and that they're only going to chase them for violent felonies. You know, now look, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm just going to tell you something. All right. What do you think else is going on normally 1 o'clock in the morning? Nothing. I'm just being honest. Okay. So when they have a situation where something happens, then that breaks up the evening. I hate to put it that way, but that's exactly what it is. You're sitting around, you're bored. You know, this guy jumps the light. The guy does this. They hear about crime. So, you know, they go after the guy. That's like during the winter months or during rainy days.
Mm.
Trust me when I tell you, there's a lot of tickets given out during rainy days and they have to go or for different things because they got to go inside right before. Out of the elements. There's different reasons. Jamal, you look like you wanted to say something.
No, man. You know, I had a funny story, man. And, you know, it's my younger days, man. I actually, I had a cop on a bicycle try to catch me one time. I don't know if that's a high-speed chase, man, but he was pedaling like hell.
Well, you couldn't have been running. You must have been in your car, because either caught you.
Yeah, I was in my car.
Oh, my goodness.
I look back, man. I heard him, hey!
Yeah, well, we knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, man, if you don't have no sirens, hey, man, I ain't trying to hear.
You say he better pedal hard, huh?
Yeah.
Let me give you an idea about some things real quick, and then I'm going to go to the emails. But I wanted, since we were finishing up for last week, I wanted to make sure we addressed this first, okay? Mm-hmm. So, look, the identity of the suspect has been verified, and there's minimal risk allowing the suspect to be apprehended at a later time. That's basically the philosophy for a lot of the departments. I know LA County Sheriff's Departments, that was our thing, too. Long as you've got them identified, what difference does it make? It's a license plate. Once you get that plate number, he's done. At some point, the safety of the public and the area of the pursuit is what you have to take into consideration, including the type of area, the time of the day, and the amount of vehicular and pedestrian traffic. Once again, at 1 o'clock in the morning, how many pedestrians are out there? Not many. What's the traffic at that time in the morning? Not much. So this guy, in my opinion, used his judgment, I think, based upon those factors. I mean, it's unfortunate somebody got killed. Don't get me wrong, okay? But those are things that police officers take into account, quite frankly, before they should engage in any type of pursuit. Go ahead, Jamal. Oh, okay. And then what they also have to take in is how familiar you are with the area. Okay, because sometimes people get transferred in or whatever the case may be. Are you familiar with the area? So you know the pitfalls of chasing somebody. That's important. And then the last thing is weather conditions. Weather conditions. Those all make a difference with some of this. So there's a lot of things that should be taken into consideration before, you know, you go into a high-speed pursuit. But again, some of this is split-second timing because the guy is there. You don't have time to run through a checklist. But mentally, if you prepared yourself to know about this checklist that I just mentioned, then it makes it a lot easier to make a split, you know, decision. And again, you know, in the police officer's favor, it was 1 o'clock in the morning and with these other factors that I just talked about. Now, if he was against department policy, he's probably going to swing. If he's within department policy, well, it's going to depend upon the jury. I mean, let's face it. And right now, police officers for some juries, you know, depending on where you are, and this is Minneapolis, so you know he's probably going to go down, you know, versus, you know, someplace else.
Well, I'll say this, man, with these gas prices getting as crazy as they are, hey, these high-speed pursuits ain't going to be lasting very long, man. Everybody's going to have a quarter tank of gas. Not going to make it.
That's it. You got that part right. And the last thing to consider is whether or not anybody, if there's any passengers in the other vehicle, and also whether or not there's passengers in your vehicle. Sometimes you have ride-alongs. You got a ride-along, man, you don't need to be involved in a high-speed chase.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that. So at any rate, I unless anybody else has anything that they really want to add, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, that's all we need to discuss about.
I remember they used this tactic before. They would have the helicopters hovering and following people, and they would keep the police at a distance. The police would be following along, but from like a few blocks away.
Safely.
So when the car would stop or the person got out and run, then the police would, you know, catch up.
Yeah, Jamal, but you know what those are for? Those are for really big deals. Those aren't going to be traffic violations, man.
Okay.
I mean, look, this was the guy. The only reason why he knew that was a stolen car, probably, because think about that. Because we call it a BOLO, be on the lookout for, okay? That there's a car, you know, a 2015 Almada, black in color, has been reported stolen. And now here comes a black Almada, you follow what I'm saying? You know, into your view. Then probably, he probably got up behind the person, looked at the license plates, confirmed the license plates, and the guy, meanwhile, is taken off because he knew what he just did. Or what happened was that at the robbery, they reported a black Almada just robbed, you know, the 7-Eleven, and you see the guy racing away. Now they're going to chase after him. It just so happens that the car is stolen as well. All right? Because as he's driving, he's also putting in the license plate number. And that probably came back as a hit. So there's a lot of factors about this case that we don't know. So, Zella, you're there, so hopefully you'll be following it. You probably will.
Oh, yeah.
So we find out what the outcome is. You know, the sad part is going to be if the guy gets off, then right away, you know, but the jury's going to hear all the facts. So we'll wait and not necessarily condemn the guy. All right?
Hey, speaking of Minnesota, man, the Kyle Rittenhouse case is going on, too.
Remember, that's in Wisconsin. That's right next door.
Oh, it's in Wisconsin. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the incident happened in Minnesota, or it happened in Wisconsin?
No, you talking about the Aubrey case?
Nope.
No. Oh, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Rittenhouse. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in Wisconsin. All of it happened in Wisconsin and Kenosha.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's not far from Minneapolis.
I still think he's going to get off, but that's another day.
Refresh my memory. Which one was that?
He was the one that shot three people during the riots.
Oh yeah. Going the self defense issue.
Yeah. Cross state lines with a gun. Then his mom took him and
with the rifle. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally still don't understand that logic. I mean. You don't take it doesn't matter. We'll wait and see what happens on that. We won't get into that one. But I'll tell you what else is going on right now. The Aubrey case. Remember when the two white guys or the three white cars shot the guy walking?
Yeah.
That case is going on right now.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what disturbs me about that case. We're getting a little off track, but since we brought this up. They selected an all-white jury except for one person. The defense did. The defense got away with it somehow. The judge is not happy in that case. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because... they're concerned, obviously, that you have an all-white jury with one black juror on that case. And, you know, the defense just did a masterful job with the voir dire. And boom, you know, so we'll wait and see. But the judge made it very clear he was not happy because, in his opinion, it had a discriminatory impact and overtones. And Zella will tell you that that's illegal in the jury system to Yeah, so that's why, but it's beyond the judge's control because of where he is or something like that. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing. You know, we'll wait and see how that one turns out.
Right.
Yep.
But in my opinion, in that case, those guys were out of line. Okay. I don't care how you cut it. They were out of line. So we'll wait and see. We'll probably be talking about that more. Let's get into these emails, all right, because we did stray a little bit, but I thought that was important what we're talking about. Jim, what is your opinion of the Fifth Court Circuit of Appeals stopping Biden's vaccine requirements for businesses with 100 or more employees? And that's from Daniel from Tucson, Arizona. Well, Daniel, a couple of things. One, I think it was bound to happen. There's 27 states that have filed, you know, against that mandatory vaccine like that. It's going to be argued on a couple of different levels. They're arguing on a constitutional level and under the Constitution, 10th Amendment, that the states have certain powers, et cetera, and the health and safety of their citizens comes under the powers of the 10th Amendment. So, therefore, you're going to have, you're going to have people that are going to say, no, it's not right. It is driving some employers absolutely crazy. I mean, 100 employees or more, they have to do this mandated, vaccine. And you guys know we get the calls all the time on this stuff. You know, employers are trying to comply. So, as a result of that federal judge issuing that, it looks like January 4th, which was the deadline to have it done by, that date's probably going to get pushed back. We don't know yet. The Biden administration has not said what they're going to do yet, but you can almost be guaranteed that they're going to, try to fight that, which, it's their rule. I mean, it's their mandate, so they're going to try to fight it. Anyway, comments, guys?
No, I just think it's completely un-American to try to force, people. I'm not against people taking it. I'm against freedom of choice. And, to try to force everybody to do it to me is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not for that.
Well, the word is that the next thing we're hearing already is that the mandate, which was supposed to be 100 or more employees, they're talking about reducing that number. See, that's what happens. When you open the door for a piece of it, then things change.
Right.
They want more. Okay? They're not going to be happy until they feel that every employer in this country has to do that. And there's no way that I'm personally going to mandate that my employees have to get vaccinated if they don't want to get vaccinated. It's
what's interesting to me, generally speaking, and I'm not trying to start an argument, but generally speaking, the left, the liberals, they're all about, like, in the case of abortion, women's choice. You can't tell a woman what to do with their body. However, now on this case, they want to force people to do something with their body and have a, and have vaccine and force vaccinations on people. I find that very strange and ironic.
Well, what makes you think that would be an argument? I agree with you. Now, Zell on the other side, I don't think he disagrees. Zella, do you disagree with that logic?
The difference is your ability to be able to go around your life and potentially spread a lethal disease with other people is what the issue and the difference is.
Well, I just got a text message that came in from a listener that says that they agree with Jamal. I don't know why they just said Jamal. It's the same thing I said. see, that's how it works, man.
Jamal gets all the credit.
Yeah, Jamal gets all the credit for something I said first. Wait a minute.
It was Jamal.
So the person, I know, Jamal, you did say it. I'm just teasing, man. It says, I agree with Jamal. I took the vaccine, but they aren't considering natural immunity. Well, that's true. They're not talking about the natural immunity. You know, people that have taken it. As you know, Charles, my brother Charles, the doctor, has been on the air talking about the same thing, that they're not considering people that have already had COVID or have the vaccine that if you already got the immunity, then what's the big deal, you know, from that perspective? Hold on, but they aren't considering natural immunity. Even though she took the vaccine, she's still saying that they aren't considering natural immunity. So I don't know. You know, I the Fifth Court Circuit of Appeals, I will tell you, you know, I had lunch with my cousin down there a few years ago, and she was laughing because she works for the United States District Attorney's Office. And she was saying they laugh down there because we have the Ninth Court Circuit of Appeals, which is more liberal, and they've got the Fifth Court Circuit of Appeals, which is more to the right. So the reality is this decision is one that's probably coming more, you know, from the right. I have to tell you that, to be fair, because those judges that came through with that, by the way, are Trump appointees. You know, so they're saying, a couple of them anyway, so I'm not sure how that's all unfolding. But the issue is the same. Go ahead.
Can I throw something in there? Each time the issues in regards to, you know, the vaccines and all that kind of stuff makes it to the Supreme Court, they're like, they've sided with the government, so we'll see. I mean, there always will become a point where there's, you know, an issue or consideration in regards to when the government goes too far. So up to this point, the Supreme Court's verified everything that everybody's done.
Listen, whatever the court says, I go along with the Supreme Court, whatever they say, so I don't have an issue with it. But that's not the point. The point is that I don't care what the Supreme Court says, all right? There's going to be people out there, okay, that are still not going to get that man, that, you know, that are still not going to get that shot. Period. Amen. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. They're not going to do it. You know, if the Heavenly Father himself came down here and said, get the shot, there's people out there that still are going to say, you know what? This is one time I'm going against you. There's some people that just don't want it no matter what. Look at the people that are quitting their jobs because they don't want it. And some of these people have now quit a little bit too premature because this could be a while before this gets resolved. Mm-hmm. Now, the other issue is that COVID, knock on wood, is heading in a downward spiral. So what's the big deal anyway when you really look at it? Time the Supreme Court handles this, man, it could be down to a very minimal type of thing. So we'll have to wait and see. Let's get to this next one. Jim, the entire Russian hoax against Trump during the 2016 election is now coming out, and Hillary and her cohorts are at the forefront. Igor Danchenko has been indicted, and longtime Democratic operative who worked for the Clinton campaign. His name was Mike Sussman, by the way. Look out, Hillary. Joanne from Des Moines, Iowa. It's true. The report is coming out now. Three people have been indicted regarding that whole situation with Trump, supposedly with the Russian hoax thing. And three people have been indicted based upon the Durham investigation. We don't know where it's all going to go. But this person is saying, look out, Hillary. Trust me when I tell you, Hillary ain't going nowhere. Hillary and Bill are two people that always land on their feet with this stuff. So I don't believe that's going to end up going anywhere. The other person was Charles Doolin. He was the former executive director of the Democratic Government Governors Association. He was the third one that's indicted. So these are all Democrats that got picked up, you know, or got indicted because they lied to the FBI about the stories that they were telling, that they, quote unquote, heard, you know, the information about Trump. So that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. Were you going to say something, Jamal?
What a waste of time, money, and resources, man. We know this stuff is not going to go anywhere. If they didn't lock her up for tampering evidence when she burned the 3,000 or shredded the 3,000 emails, they're not going to do nothing to her. People underneath her might go to jail, but the person in power is not. I'm just ready to move on. I don't even like, those are two names I don't like, Trump and Hillary. I hate hearing either one of those two names.
Well, that's why you were an independent, Jamal. So at least you are remaining an independent.
Yeah.
Well, JL, what are your thoughts?
Waste of time.
Now, this was an allegation against Biden. We see if it was a waste of time, but that's okay.
Biden is the current president. If there's an issue or concern in regards to a current president, I have less of an issue than somebody that ran for president three cycles ago and is not impacting anybody, any of our lives.
You say that because he's out of office right now, he impacts our lives. You got employees quitting.
We have a reference.
It says employees quitting due to vaccinations, free money, no rent, et cetera. Now they are boomerangs trying to come back, which is true because the $300 a month is gone now. Didn't have to pay rent. All right. And now what's happening is the people are starting to try to get back into the work environment. You know, Biden's taking credit talking about how many people, X numbers of people are back in the work environment. Well, if you drop the $300, you know, of course they're going back into the work environment. It's got nothing to do with his policies. So at any rate, it is what it is with this stuff. And I agree with you guys, man, this stuff is just a vicious circle. There's just no doubt about it. I was at a meeting the other day with a guy that's running, for office. And, I mentioned his name is Joe Collins. He's running against Maxine Waters. You know, we have these conversations about some of these things and the things that people do, the things that people say. And I asked about term limits. You know, and he's against, I mean, he's for term limits. Jamal, you were there. Maybe with some of these things, if we had term limits for some of these people, maybe these people would be a little bit more cooperative in terms of the things that they're doing and saying. But I agree with you about these investigations, Jamal. And Zeller, these investigations just have a tendency to spend a lot of money. They go round and around in circles. They're normally partisan investigations that end up not going that far. A couple of people, little people like you say, Jamal, get sent to jail for a little bit of time, and then, you know, it all just dissipates. So, I don't know. We'll see. Let's get on to the third email. Jim, Glenn Youngkin's victory. I think I pronounced his name the right way. Glenn Youngkin's victory. Really upset the Democrats. It knocked them off their feet. Another example was the close race in New Jersey. Both are telltale signs that the midterm elections will be another shellacking because the American people are not buying into the leftist agenda by the Democrats, and even some Democrats are changing their tune. Helen from San Diego. You know, it's true. That guy, you know, Youngkin, when he ran, he had no political experience. And what's interesting is that this is Virginia, and Virginia is normally blue. So they've had governors going back, I think, 44 years or whatever. I don't remember the time frame right now, where it's a Democratic, vote. Hold on a second. Democratic governor. Let's see. If we had term limits, it may also decrease lobbyist buying positions. Well, that's true. At any rate, so his winning is a big deal. The guy was not a politician. Biden, 12 months before, beat Trump by 10 points in Virginia. And this whole thing got turned around because the mama bears basically got upset regarding this whole thing about education. So that's what really did it. Now, the situation in New Jersey, of course, who knows? But this guy was supposed to get blown out I think Murphy was the governor, was the incumbent, and he was in a fight for his life. And again, it's showing some kind of trend that's going on. Now, some people say that the midterm elections are going to be reflective of what's going on. Normally with this governor race in Virginia, it's the first thing to test the temperature to see how people are thinking. But it boiled down to the fact that people did not want to be told that you can't teach their children. I mean, what to teach their children. Now, Jamal, you've got three children. As a parent, do you think that you have a right to be able to, you know, have some kind of input on what the kids are being taught?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's my child. If I don't agree with the curriculum or something like that, I have a right to voice my opinion. You know, I mean, within reason, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't worry about my kids taking algebra. I would have fought against it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ridiculous math classes, you know, calculus and all that kind of mean. So within reason. But when you start getting into political structure and certain other things, then you got to be careful with those type of subjects.
We just got a two messages. One, what about the trucker that spent $500? First of all, that's a misunderstanding. He did not spend $500. He actually spent close to $10,000.
Who?
The trucker who got elected also. I forgot what jurisdiction that he was in, but they made a big deal out of this guy who was a truck driver, Jamal, that ran for office. He's actually run for office several times, and he actually got elected this time. I think it was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And he ran, and the word came out at first that he ran and won this election only paying $500, but that's not true. It came out to about $10,000 when it was all said and done. Meanwhile, we got another message that came in that said the 2022 elections are a year away. A lot can happen in a year. And that is true. The media made a big deal of these two elections. Well, it's the liberal media because, you know, it probably wasn't the liberal media that made a big deal about it. I shouldn't say that. They probably downplayed it. It was probably Fox that made a big deal about it. Oh, he ran in New Jersey, guys. The trucker ran in New Jersey, and $10,000 is nothing, the person saying. That's true. To when he ran a state congressional seat is what he actually won, now that I think about it. So to win a congressional seat for only $10,000, I mean, once again, that's pretty good.
The guy, Youngkin, how you say his name?
Youngkin, go ahead.
Youngkin. Now, you said that he's not a politician. Maybe that's the reason why he won in the first place. And he may have ran as a Republican, but if he's not a politician, that could be a good reason why he won. Because people are tired of the regular normal.
The reason why he won, Jamal, was because, in all honesty, was because the person he ran against came out and said parents had no right to talk about what the kids are being taught in school. That's when the whole thing shifted. Right. Okay, and the mama bears got upset about that. Zeller, I see you're smiling. I don't know if that's something on your end is going on or what we're talking about.
I swear I'm listening to a Fox News episode. Let me give you some quick facts. The governor for Virginia is always from the opposing party ever since they've been tracking it, except for the Democrat that ran this time. He's the only person that was able to win. There's always a flip. Whoever's in office, the Virginia always votes for the governor from the different one. That's how it's always been. And so this just goes along with the trend. So it's just hilarious, all this pontificating in regards to.
So then why was it so close?
They always switch.
Why was it so close? Why wasn't it a landslide? Why wasn't it a landslide then?
It always flips.
Why wasn't it a landslide?
I don't know. Why didn't
all of these went down to a few thousand votes?
Why didn't the Republican win by landslide? I don't know. I'm not in
politicians. Hold on,
all I know is that it always flips. It always flips.
Politicians are paid
except
a lot.
For once.
Politicians are paid a lot too. $200,000 for LA County, our LA council person. A current proposal to double the number on the council and cut the pay to $100,000 each. Still a lot of money paid. This is why people want to be politician. Term limits make sense. Trucker has no political experience either. So you're talking about two people that got elected with no political experience, you know. So, but Zeller, you have to admit, with that election with Youngkin, Obama went down there. Now, if it was a situation where like you say, it flips that easy. Obama went there. Harris went there. Stacey Abrams went there. And Biden went there. All Democrats trying to pump up for that Democrat to win.
Isn't that what they're supposed to do?
And it always works.
But normally, Jamal, they don't go out to every governor race in the country. I mean, there's 50 governors. They don't go out to every race. They went to this race because the Virginia race, like Zeller said, is, or like I said earlier, that race is, they say, is indicative of the midterm election. Now, Zeller doesn't want to believe that, but that's fine. We'll wait and see what happens next November. Because we will be on here talking about that when they get that shellacking.
I'm missing something. You named three people that went down there in support of somebody in their party. I'm not understanding the point you were trying to make, because it seemed like it's just something normal that you're supposed to do.
It's not something normal you're supposed to do when the president of the United States, the vice president of the United States, and a former president, Jamal, all go into a state, okay, to campaign for a governor of one state. They don't do that. There's 50 states. They don't have the time to do that. The reason why they went down there, Jamal, is like the point that I'm trying to make is that they, because that election is a very big election. Virginia is normally a blue state, Jamal. They wanted to keep it blue, okay, with the governor that's in office. Right. And they say that, you know, it's a pulse for the midterm elections. Now, that's what they say. So right. That's why they all went in there to campaign, because that election is the first one technically that sets the tone, they say, for the midterm elections. That's why it was that important.
Can I provide you with a counterpoint?
How come they? You say that they go for the governor's races? Fine. Why weren't they all campaigning in New Jersey for the governor of New Jersey then? They didn't.
You just said how vital. You just said how vital it was down in Virginia. So if Virginia was that vital, then it would make sense to put more of an effort there.
Jamal, I agree. But the thing about it is, even with all of that, they still lost.
Okay.
That sets the tone. Jamal, what I'm trying to tell you is that the people down there, because they had Democrats that voted for Youngkin. It was all about the education issue, Jamal, but yet Democrats crossed the line and voted for Republicans because they were upset about what the Democratic candidate said about education, and the parents should not be involved. That's when the whole pendulum switched.
Z, what was he trying to say?
Who knows? What is he going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Zell. I'm just teasing.
The easy counterpoint, Jamal, is that there weren't 50 governor's races that just happened. These are these off-cycle governor's races. There's not very many governor's races that are off-cycle from everybody else's. So that's why they also had the ability to be able to go there, because there weren't 50 governor's races for them to focus on. There were only like two or three.
Right. And they went to Virginia. They did not go to New Jersey. Why didn't they go to New Jersey? And they didn't go to the other one. They went to the Virginia one, I'm telling you, because the Virginia one, okay, is the one.
The Virginia one is a harder one to win, Jim, based on the statistics.
Okay.
The governor, they always switch. If there's a Republican in the White House, Virginia votes for a Democratic governor. When there's a Democrat in the White House, Virginia votes for a Republican. That has always been the case. And the only time that it didn't happen last time was when the Democrat that won, that was just running and lost, won the last time. Otherwise, every other time, that's how it's exactly been.
At any rate, we've got a couple of things coming in. One, the poll showed a dead heat in Virginia. The New Jersey poll showed Murphy with a double-digit lead. Okay, so I guess what he's saying is that's why they didn't need to go to New Jersey, but yet they were what? He was in a fight for his life, as it turned out. On the other side, I got a text that said, what happened? Let's see, how would you like to be accused of a Russian puppet and the public believed it and it was a lie? Wouldn't you want your name cleared? Well, the answer is yes to that. What happened to New Jersey? The Democrat won re-election, and that is not the norm in New Jersey as well. Let's see. We got some other ones here.
Wait a minute. You said that...
the New Jersey election.
What about the Russian puppet part?
They were saying, in other words, that the person... If somebody accused you of something, because it's coming out that the allegations that they were doing against Trump was wrong. So therefore, you know, if you were accused of being a Russian puppet, wouldn't you want your name cleared? So therefore, the investigation in this person's mind is justified, is all that they're saying.
Yeah, I have a problem when any U.S. president goes before the world and says they believe Russian intelligence over U.S. intelligence.
Okay, well, what does that got to do with him being a Russian spy, Jamal? They accuse him of... I'm not even going to get into that.
That was kind of, you know... That don't seem Ronald Reagan like to me. I don't know.
somebody said this. Anyone want to talk about the premiere of Yellowstone? Who shot Dutton? I think that's that miniseries or whatever that is on. Hold on a second. Let me see what else people are saying here. We got another person. McAuliffe of Virginia was the governor of Virginia before. That's true. And he lost. Parents got involved, mad about changes in curriculum, probably will spread across the United States. And I think that's probably true. And it's true. Murphy did have a double-digit lead. But again, you have to wonder what happened at the final end. Anyway, look, we could talk about this all day long. Let's talk about this thing with Woke America real quick. Because as usual, the time is moving on. The other topic that we did want to talk about today, folks, was about how woke whites are turning minorities into Republicans. Now, what they're talking about with that, and these are headlines that are out there, so anybody can Google it, because it looks like some of these minorities are moving in the direction of the Republican Party because they're not liking what they're seeing that's coming out of this, out of the progressive left, so to speak. So I'm going to read something to you. Hold on a second. I want to read this to you. As Democrats have traded non-college-educated voters for college-educated ones, white liberal share of a voice and clout in the Democratic Party has gone up. And since white voters are sorting on ideology more than non-white voters, we've ended up in a situation where white liberals are more left-wing than black and Hispanic Democrats on pretty much every issue. Taxes, healthcare, policing, and even on racial issues or various measures of racial resentment. So as white liberals increasingly define the party's image and messaging, that's going to turn off non-white conservative Democrats and push them against the Democrats. And that's a pretty heavy statement, quite frankly. But it's true that the minority vote is shifting in a direction of the Republican Party, and you have to wonder why that is going on. Now, as an example, they had a guy that just won a congressional seat down in Texas in a Democratic area. His name was Lujan, L-U-J-U-A-N. He just won a seat in a Democratic area as a Republican. And the reason for that was because people down there, including Hispanics and minorities, are getting upset about the people that are coming across the about coming across the border and Biden having, quote unquote, a failed immigration policy, you know, regarding the border situation. So you have to stop and wonder. Now, Jamal, I know that you and I have had some conversations that, if I'm not mistaken, where aren't you saying that some people that you know might be shifting, may not be as happy with the Democratic Party?
There's quite a few people that I know that's not happy with things that are going on. Are they ever going to vote Republican? Majority not. It's not going to happen.
See, there's a situation where somebody just votes the party line and end the story, no matter how bad it's going to get. But that's okay. That's their right to vote for whoever they want to vote for.
The local elections, they might change. But in terms of presidents and stuff like that and governors, that's probably never going to change. Local, it could be.
Well, I want you to hear this. Democratic support among self-described conservative Hispanics shifted by a whopping 50 points over 8 years. Democrats won these voters by a 10-point margin in 2012, but lost them by 40 percentage points last year. Conservative African-Americans likewise showed migration away from the Democrats. While the African-American vote moved away from the Democrats on a smaller scale, the party's dependence on winning the vast majority of Hispanic and African-American votes to achieve electoral success makes any migration away from the Democrats by minority population a cause for alarm. Again, these are just polls. Who knows? You take the polls. This person is texting. I love what Carvel said about the woke, and he's a Democratic. That's true. James Carvel, he's a Democratic strategist, and that's true. And he's talking about the fact that this business about woke is going to drive people away, in his opinion, as a Democratic strategist. Zayla, what's your thought about this?
No, I just think it's always interesting the, you know, what people get riled up about. We have a Big Ten party. There's lots of views. There's folks that are on the more conservative side as being, you know, Democrats, and folks that are on the more liberal side. These are debates and discussions that happen all the time.
Let me ask you a question, guys. Do you guys think that Democrats really care about the majorities or the or do you think they care more about the minority votes? And I'm going to state an opinion right now, and I wrote my opinion down because when I was thinking about it, Democrats are never held accountable for the oppressive social conditions, poverty, and high unemployment suffered by blacks under their rules, under their rule. And I really honestly believe that, okay? Because these cities, once again, whether you like it or not, Zaylor, these Democratic-controlled cities, these minorities in these cities, okay, are really under the gun. They're living in poverty, all right, and they're democratically controlled. Jamal, you were at a meeting when we were talking about this the other day, okay, and they started. We talked about South Central, and some of these conditions have not changed. So are they?
I agree with everything. I agree with everything you just said, and the reason why I agree with that is because, like you said, the conditions haven't changed. Our school systems is down. The homeless population has gotten worse. The streets are just depressing, dirty, filthy. And if anybody's in charge of that and they're not taking enough leadership to make the changes that the necessary changes to clean up the community and stuff like that, they got to go. I don't care if you do vote for another Democrat, but don't keep the same person in there that's not getting the job done. Something has to change.
This person typed in and said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Minorities to join a party whose leader is a hero to white supremacists. I think that's a ridiculous statement because every Republican and every Republican, politician is not a white supremacist. But that's besides the point. Zeller, what are your thoughts about it?
I just think it's hilarious that it's Democrats' fault that there's poverty and gun violence and homelessness.
Well, who do you blame if they're the ones in charge? Who do you hold accountable if they're the one in charge?
One second.
Well, while we're waiting for Z, you know, we always say the stuff rolls downhill from the top. So, therefore, and I always like to use a football analogy, if the coach loses the team, then guess what? They got to replace that head coach. And that's always in that. And so I just think it's a group effort. It's not working. So therefore, we got to have a change.
Some of the worst cities in this country, and they say 19 out of 20, I believe is the number, democratically controlled, that have these issues with poverty in the black communities. 19 out of 20.
Jim, I have a question for you. This might be a show topic for another one. Why aren't Republicans in charge of the big cities? Why is it the biggest cities in this country are always democratically run?
Because the minorities aren't smart enough to understand that the Democrats only want them for their votes and they're not doing anything for them, Zeller. That's the reason why. They need to start becoming more informed.
I think that was kind of offensive. When you say minorities aren't smart enough, I mean, I don't think that's the case. But
Jamal, when I say they're not smart enough, I'm not calling them ignorant. I'm saying they're not smart enough to understand the issue, okay, that they turn around and they accept things because if they get a handout or they get something from the government, Jamal, they're content with that for the moment, okay? And that's what we talk about with informed voters and not being an informed voters. And those communities don't always get into, Jamal, the pros and cons of the issues. Just like you said, these guys are recognizing that there's issues, and yet they're going to still go down there and vote for Democrats, even though they may be living in conditions that are not good. There's got to be a change.
The problem is, and which I addressed Friday night at the event, was that was the first time I had ever seen a Republican down there in South Central, ever. So if you're not showing your face and you're not talking to the people, then how can you come down there and be the one that you want to make a change for? They don't know you. They know the ones that's there.
Yeah,
so therefore, if they want change too, they got to put boots on the ground and get in there and help.
Well, anyway, this other person just wrote in and said, you think that the Republicans care about minorities? Do I think they care about minorities more so than it's expressed? Zeller's saying no, of course. Zeller's a liberal. Why would he say the Republicans are
Democrat? I don't think neither one of them care about minorities, to be honest with you. I think it's all about power to them.
So minorities don't care anything about minorities. We don't care. Okay, that's fine. We don't care about minorities. We only care about white people. Okay, no problem. Because I just want to point out, okay, that there are plenty of black Republicans out there, and those are minorities.
I said parties don't care about the minorities.
Yeah. Somebody just brought up the fact that let's recall that Biden actually spoke at a white supremacist funeral, and that was Byrd. If you guys look that up, that's a known fact that right. He's a white supremacist, and he was there eulogizing a white supremacist. So he's not so innocent either.
So
as usual, the time is gone, you guys.
So was Hillary.
We hope you enjoy your time out there where you are.
Thank you.
You know, I don't want you to think I don't appreciate anything you said, because I don't.
Hey Z, have fun out there, man.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And hey, do us a favor, if you like what you heard, please spread the word. Until next time, be safe out there. Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.